To the book of, let me see here, Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22. I appreciate y'all being here tonight, and got a big decision tonight, and I know that you've been praying and asking God for wisdom and direction and discernment and understanding, and all of that. I've been praying with you about it, really ever since I came here the first time, I think back in July or August last year, and I think it's a testament of the fact that there are so many of you here tonight that you care, and that's a great testament to what God has done here in the past, and I believe what God wants to do in the future. A lot of times when I get up to speak and preach, I become so one track in the things I do, I forget about everything else I want to say and talk about. I meant to mention this morning, I apologize, my wife is out of town today. She had scheduled several months ago a trip up to see her mother in Pittsburgh, and my two youngest boys went with her, and so she's there this week, and she is praying also. I talked to her this afternoon. She texted me a little bit ago, and we want you to know that we're praying together with you in these things, and I've looked on the church website, and I noticed the history of the church. There, and I think is it Brother Johnny that does that? Is that right? And put some of the history of the church there. And what an amazing beginning this church has had. What amazing history this church has had over the years, and over 100 years. And I am of the opinion that the church never ought to cease once it begins. And I believe in the perpetuity of the church, and so it's a testament to your faithfulness and your commitment to the Lord and what He's doing in what you've been doing all these years and what you continue to do. And so I want you to understand that I don't take lightly anything that, any decision that you have to make this evening. And I trust the Lord's will be done. And we'll just continue to follow the Lord and allow Him to give us clear direction, all of those things. I want to give you just a simple thought and really two things tonight. Hopefully it'll just be a help and encouragement to you. Matthew chapter 22. And verse number 34, I want to begin reading there, Matthew 22, verse number 34. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." It's interesting because the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't get along, you know. And the Pharisees, of course, were the... today, a Pharisee is a derogatory term. Back then, it was not. It was a very envious position, a very envious place to be in the Pharisees. The Sadducees were another group of people. We learn and understand from scriptures they didn't believe in the resurrection. So the Pharisees and Sadducees get together here when one of them gets silenced. And verse 35, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question." That's Jesus. The lawyer asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, if this is the first and great commandment, I think it would be the most egregious and grievous breaking of a commandment if we did not do that. Look at the second thing he says there in verse number 39, "And the second is unto it." So it's not the same, but it's like it. It's like unto it. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now this is a very interesting statement that Jesus makes here in verse number 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." He said you can take basically everything in the Old Testament and sum it up in these two things. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Go over to Luke chapter number 10 if you would. Look at Luke chapter number 10. We find another account of this happening here. I like to read through the accounts and compare and contrast them as we go through the gospel records. But look at Luke chapter 10 verse number 25. Luke 10, 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. You notice the additional thing here that Christ put in, all thy strength. That was not in Matthew chapter 22. So it's interesting that Jesus adds this here. We're not going to take time to dwell on that, but just something to think about. And thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So we find here I suppose you could say, an expanded account of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God, first and great commandment. Before anything else, number one, we ought to learn to love God. Now, let me stop and say this. Learning to love is not an easy thing, except for ourselves. Okay, we love ourselves. The Bible tells us that. And we're self-preservationists. And so we have no problem doing that, but when it comes to loving other people or things, now there's a little more difficulty in there, and it's not a natural outflow of anything that we are. It is a natural outflow of everything that Christ is in us. So as we launch into the Christian life, as we trust Christ as our Savior, and we begin to live the Christian life, we read through the Scriptures, and we find here that we have a first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, go over to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. In the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and the last two verses. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Remember, Solomon is writing here. He's writing about the things that he's observed through his life and all of the vanity and vexation of spirit that it has brought. He says, okay, I'm going to sum the whole thing up here. I want to hear, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now, with that in mind, go over to the book of John, chapter number 13. Look at John, chapter number 13. So Solomon said, the conclusion of the whole thing is to fear God and keep his commandments. John chapter 13 and verse number 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. Now watch this. A new commandment I give unto you. So if there's a new, there has to be an old. That serves to reason, right? I would like to submit tonight the fact that the old commandment we saw in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. And it's in the Bible and we ought to do it. Okay? It's in the script. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? So yes, we're to fear God. But may I say this? The great motivating factor of our lives is not fear of God. Notice the commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You see, the Old Testament saints did not understand God as a God of love. Now, He was a God of love, and He loved His people, and He cared. We find scriptures that support the fact that God loved them all through the book of Psalms and all that, but that's not how they viewed God because of the way God had structured their lives around the law. They were commanded to keep the law. To fear God and keep the law, to keep His commandments. When Jesus came along, we know that He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, do away with it, but I did come to do something to the law, and that was to fulfill it. And in that fulfillment, we find this new commandment. Now, it's always been, in my opinion, it's always been the command to love God. Okay, the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, if you don't have any other gods before Him, then you should have a love for Him. And a love for other things creates a problem there. But now Christ came, and He didn't do away with the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And again, may I submit to you, in that fulfillment, we find this new commandment to love. And the motivating factor behind everything that we do ought to be love. Now, we have to be very careful. Let me say this. We have to be very careful because if we overemphasize this principle of love, if we're not careful, it can lead to compromise. You see, if we overemphasize the concept of fearing God, it can lead to great criticism. And there must be a balance. There must be a balance. As a matter of fact, that's why when you read through the Revelation, we find there those churches, those seven churches in Asia. One of the reasons I think that they don't exist anymore is because they became imbalanced. They overemphasized certain things over other things. And became imbalanced and then ceased to exist. So there has to be a fair balance there. And of course, that balance is found in none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Now, go over to the book of Galatians. Look at the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Verse number 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now watch verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Skip over to chapter 6 and verse number 2 of Galatians. Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Watch the last phrase there. And so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have a law that we're supposed to obey. We have a law that we're supposed to fulfill. Christ came to fulfill the Old Testament law, and it's our responsibility to fulfill the new law, the new commandment, the law of Christ, in loving God and loving one another. Now, I want you to understand a few things, just a few simple thoughts here. Hopefully, it'll be to help and encourage you. Encouragement. Number one, love must involve sacrifice. You cannot have love without sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus said, I have called you friends. So love must involve sacrifice. If we're never willing to sacrifice, we'll never love like we ought to. If we're never willing to sacrifice to the Lord, sacrifice whatever it is that God puts his finger on in your life, whatever God points out, whatever it is that he asks for. Now, some have been called, some have been instructed. We find all the way back in the book of Genesis, Abraham being asked to sacrifice something extremely difficult to give, his own son. As a matter of fact, not just his own son, but the promised son, Isaac. God said, I want you to sacrifice your son, and if you're confused about it, your only son, and if you're still confused about it, Isaac. The one that I promised you. By the way, he already had Ishmael, okay? So really he had two sons, but Ishmael wasn't the promised son. Isaac was the promised heir. Now, I don't think God is going to ask us to sacrifice any of our children like he did there. And by the way, God, yes, he tested Abraham, but he didn't let him kill his son. I've heard people say, and you have too, well, God is a God of love, and he told somebody to kill their child one time. Well, I understand what you're saying, but no, he didn't let him follow through. He provided himself a sacrifice. The Bible says he provided himself a lamb, right? And he kept him from doing it. But love involves sacrifice. We know, look, those of us that have gone through marriage ceremony and have husbands and wives, all that, we understand that. We get it. There are things you just have to give up. Love involves sacrifice. Not only that, love involves denial. In other words, when I married my wife, I didn't say she was going to be one of. I said she was going to be one and only. Right? And in the marriage vows, what do we say? Forsaking all others. Right? There has to be denial in love. If any man come after me, Jesus said, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So when it comes to loving God and understanding how to love God and learning to love God, we have to know and understand that there's sacrifice involved, but there's also denial involved. You know, if we're not careful, we become like those Old Testament folks there in, I think it's in 1st and 2nd Kings there, where the Bible says they feared God and served idols. You say, what? Yeah. Yeah. You see, they didn't want God to punish them, so they went through the rituals of sacrifice and all the things they were supposed to do in the Old Testament law, but they never got rid of anything. They didn't deny anything. You see, love not only adds to, but it also takes away. It also purges. It also removes some things. And loving God and loving others causes us to be willing to sacrifice and to be willing to deny. I wrote down a simple third thought here. Love is acceptance, but not agreement. Aren't you glad God accepted you? Even the way you were, whatever way that was. He didn't agree with what you were doing. As a matter of fact, we find the scripture telling us, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. Well, why is there chastisement? Because there's no agreement. Now, he that cometh to God, Christ said, I will in no wise cast out. I'll accept everybody. But I'm not going to agree with who you are and what you are because I'll accept you the way you are and then make you into what you ought to be if you'll let me. So love is acceptance, but it's not agreement. You see, we're living in a world that says, well, if we ought to just love everybody, and I'm not against that statement, I understand that statement, but that does not mean I have to agree with everything that everybody says and does. And so understanding that, we understand that loving God and God loving us and loving others and others loving us, there's sacrifice there. There has to be sacrifice. There's going to be some things that I'm going to do that I wouldn't normally do. I'm going to act in ways I would have never acted before. I'm going to do, look, love drives us to do things that we would have never done otherwise. Somebody defined love this way, it's not original with me, but love is the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. You ever give anybody any money? Somebody asked to borrow some money? Now, don't come ask to borrow me money, please. But I don't lend money, I give money. Now, if you want to borrow money from your side of it, that's great. I'll take it back when you give it back. But when I hand it over, guess what? I may never see it again. I've learned just to say, there you go, you know. Look, learn not to lend, learn to give. Because that's what love does. Love gives. And love is not just an emotion. It's not just some gushy, mushy feeling that makes everybody feel good and smile and all those things. No, love is an action. Because what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Back it up. Prove you love me. My marriage vows would be worthless if I told my wife all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then never did anything to prove that love to her. And yet, it's the same way sometimes, if we're not careful, we treat God and one another. We tell God, Lord, I love you, God, I love you. And I can imagine, I'm sure he doesn't do it this way, but I can imagine he's going up there, okay, what are you doing for me? Prove it. Show me. Look over at Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 5. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now we look at that word ungodly there and we think, oh, that's unsaved people. But the word ungodly then had a different meaning. Notice the explanation here, verse number 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, proved, showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You got three types of people here. You got the righteous man, the good man, and the sinner. Three types of people. He says, scarcely for a righteous man, some would dare to die. They'd give their life for somebody who was, you know, a pretty good person. A person who struggled a little bit, maybe slipped up here and there, but by and large, they had good motives and tried to live their life right. Some would even dare to die for that person. But the guy who's not even trying, the one who's not even trying to do right, the one who's just doing whatever he wants, I'm not going to give my life for that person. They're a career criminal, we would call those people, right? Why would I give my life for that person? God said, that's who you were when I gave my life for you. And I proved and showed my love to you. And now we ought to reciprocate that to God. Let me show you one more passage over in the book of 1 John. Another familiar scripture here, but look at 1 John. Chapter number 4. verse number 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. By the way, those two words, let us, indicate intention. It doesn't happen by accident. We have to do it on purpose. With God's help, of course. But we have to do it on purpose. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, you would think it would say we ought to love him back. That's not what it says. God loved you, you ought to love him back. It's not what it says, though. It's true. Well, it's not what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, what? We ought also to love one another. So how do you prove your love for God? Yes, by obeying his commands and doing what he said. But a second way you prove your love for God is how you love others. Your love that you have for other people, other believers. Notice the term beloved there. Look at verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Look at verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now here it is. Now he says, we love him because he first loved us. You would think that God would have put that first. At least I would have thought that. That's how I would have done it. You love me because I loved you. But that's not what God did. He said, you want to prove your love to me, have love for others. Oh, and by the way, you love me because I loved you first. You see, a new commandment I've given unto you. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first and great commandment. The second like unto it. All the law and the prophets can be hung on these two things. And particularly we find in Galatians on the one thing of loving one another. What are you motivated by? What motivates you? What motivates this church? What motivates your family? What motivates you while you're at work? What motivates you while you're at home? What is the motivating factor behind everything that you do? Is it because you don't want God to take out a big hammer and bonk you over the head with it when you mess up? Is it because you're fearing God? Is that the motivating factor? It's a good motivating factor, and it's in the Bible, and we ought to do it. But that ought not be the primary thing. That ought to be balanced with the fact that we do what we do because we love God. And by loving God, we love one another. With this truth. I thank you for your word, how it guides us and gives us clear understanding of your expectations for us. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you for what you've done here at this church over the years. I ask that you would continue to put your hand of wisdom and discernment, understanding and guidance. I ask your will to be accomplished. I ask you to help us to love you like we ought to love one another like we ought to. And by this, to prove to everyone that we truly are your disciples. Father, lead us in this love that we have for you. In Christ's name, amen. Think about a song? Oh, sorry. Stand with you would. Take your songbooks. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open, or just want to deal with the Lord right where you're at. What are you motivated by? What drives you? What brings you to make the decisions that you make? What brings you about to make those decisions? What leads you? Let it be the love of God and the love of others. Number 220. Evening, and I'll continue to pray and with you, and we'll just trust the Lord the whole time. Brother Jeff, anything that needs to be said? All right, I'll pray. And...